where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of the medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, the social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of March 13th, 2022, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north of the 49th parallel. I'm Greg David.
And I'm Amy Wilson.
And we would like you to put your television on mute or pause your streaming service for episode 242 of TVA, the podcast. Yes, we're back again. Thank you so much to everyone who reached out over the past 2 weeks to let us know that they were excited that the TVA podcast was back in their feeds. Thanks to those people that didn't unsubscribe so that it showed up in your feed again. It was wonderful to know that we were missed. Yeah, I mean, that's just very exciting to hear from people and be part of people's lives, bringing news and stuff about the Canadian TV industry to you again. So, Amy, full disclosure, we are recording this on Sunday, early afternoon for me and late afternoon getting into the evening for you. So let's get to the beverage update right away. What have you got on the go?
Well, it is the afternoon, so that means I am already partaking, barely. I've had one sip, but I am drinking Shackleton blended malt scotch whiskey and Coke. And I thought this was a good whiskey to pull out in honor of Ernest Shackleton's ship Endurance being discovered this week. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty exciting news. I always love stories like that. And the pictures of that were pretty awesome to see. It was got my history nerd going. So yes, I decided to pour myself a nice cocktail with this. And it is a Scottish product. Mm-hmm. And based on an antique blend of McKinley's, a rare old Highland malt whiskey. The spirit supplied to the 1907 British Antarctic expedition. So, ooh. Yes, I've had this a few times and I already had it on hand. So I didn't run out and get it for the occasion. I thought it was, very nice that I already had it and it went with the news of the week. So it's one of my favorites. It's not terribly expensive. I think it's about 20, 25 pounds over here in the UK, but it goes very nice with Coke. So that is what I'm having. What are you having?
Well, now, do you have it with ice? Is there ice in the cup to recognize the ice that crushed the Endurance and sent it to the bottom of the sea?
No, I am having it without ice. I am not very good at making my cocktails. It is just poured in there and followed quickly with Coke.
That's fine.
I'm not a very precise barmaid.
That's so fine. For me, I've already had coffee. I've switched to water just so that I can keep hydrated. Later this afternoon, though, I'm going to crack into at least one bottle or can of a beer here in Quebec called Tremblay. Now, it does. I like the flavor of it. People tell me that it's like the Molson Canadian or the Labatt Blue of Quebec. So just kind of a, you know, not necessarily, I don't want to say bottom of the barrel, but it's a very common beer. I like it. I was introduced to it years and years ago by friends that we visited in Quebec City, and I like it. So every time I crack open a Tremblay, I think of Quebec City. So yeah, that's what I'll be having later this afternoon.
Oh, cheers. Sounds good.
Yeah. And I don't put ice in that. I just drink it right from the, you know what? Okay. So if it comes in a can here, so I will probably pour it into a glass, but if it was in a bottle, I would just drink it straight from the bottle. I don't know that that's weird or not, but anyway, I pour it out of the can.
No, okay. That's respectable.
All right. So let's get to what's happening on the Canadian TV schedule for the next 2 weeks. So if you're listening to us on Sunday, when this podcast is going to come out, set your PVRs or tune into HGTV, because Scott's Own Vacation House is going to be debuting on HGTV Canada on Monday night. Now, Scott, in reference, is Scott McGilvery, who's been with HGTV Canada for a long time. He started out with them doing a reno show where it's kind of built, his brand has been built on the back of renovating a house or renovating a part of a house and then turning it over and bringing in, renters and bringing in money. So the idea behind Scott's own vacation house is that he and his wife have bought a bunch of cottages up in cottage country, and they're going to be renovating two out of the three for rental use. And then the main one they're going to renovate and just stay in. So the idea is that they're going to have somewhere they can go to get away from the big city and then also make some money on the side. So if you're a fan of Scott McGilvery, check that out. And also debuting on March the 14th, which is Monday, or coming back for a second season, actually, is a show called Face to Face with David. And it's going to be on Slice. And I'm just going to read from the media release. It's a 13-episode season, and it was filmed in the Rimrock Resort Hotel in Banff, Alberta. And David is David Olton. And it's something, a talk show that he started out on his own, and it got picked up as a show. So it's an interview program where David talks to, does virtual interviews with people like Raven Simone, Miriam Margolyes, David Archuleta. Wow, David Archuleta, back from American Idol days. Comedian Jimmy Carr, actress Katherine Reitman from Working Moms, Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager. So it's a talk show, and if you're a fan of any of those stars, check out Face to Face with David on Slice on Monday night. March the 15th is the second season return of Farmhouse Facelift on HGTV. And that stars a brother and sister duo. Their names are Carolyn Wilbrink and Billy Pearson. And basically, she's the interior designer. He's the renovation guy, and they renovate farmhouses in Southern Ontario. Kind of an interesting show. They film in and around the Kitchener-Waterloo area. So, I mean, it's only of interest to people that know that area, which would be me. It is cool, though, to see these old farmhouses be renovated. The thing that Billy and Carolyn do is they keep the rustic charm of the farmhouse while just kind of updating them. So, again, that is Farmhouse Facelift on March the 15th. Sight Unseen is a documentary that's kicking off. It's on Wednesday the 16th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV. For those of you that don't know, I do work in the industry, and my day gig is that I'm the communications specialist at AMI, a broadcaster for that makes programming for the blind and partially sighted community here in Canada. So this one's a little bit close to my heart because it's debuting on AMI TV. And it's all about this AMI bureau reporter named Beth, who's a member of the blind and partially sighted community, and her partner, Cody. And they bought a house in Edmonton, sight unseen. It was up, I think it was up for bid. And they bid on it, sight unseen, and they got it. And then when they showed up on site to check out this house, it essentially used to be a drug den. So the windows were all boarded up. When they went into the house, there was garbage all over the place. You can imagine the smell that was there, mattresses, just the place was full of junk. And so the challenge for them is taking this house that was unlivable and turning it into a home for them that's also accessible, because as Beth being a member of the blind and partially sighted community, there need to be things in place where it's easy for her to get around. So check that out. It's a 1-hour documentary on AMI TV on Wednesday night, and you can find out how the two of them do that. Oh, and did I mention that Beth is pregnant while all this stuff is going on? So if you don't, that wasn't enough drama for you, throw in pregnancy as well. And then the last two shows that I just wanted to mention for this week, March the 22nd marks the return of Canada's Got Talent, a program that was on City TV for a few seasons and then went away. Well, it is back. Again, Canada's Got Talent, all about Canadians thinking that they've got talent and the judges that are going to be judging them on whether they have enough of a talent to move on. The judges for this season of Canada's Got Talent is Howie Mandel, Lily Singh, Cardinal Official, Trish Stratus, and Lindsay L is the host of Canada's Got Talent. So if you are a fan of that franchise, don't miss it. It returns on March the 22nd. And then the last program is The Return of Life Below Zero, Canada on Cottage Life. It's a documentary series about the Canadians that live way, 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 way in northern Canada and how they eke out a life there. It's on Cottage Life. And just a note that Cottage Life is in a free preview right now. So if you want to check it out on your cable system for free, you can watch Cottage Life and check out the new season of Life Below Zero, Canada. So a lot of stuff going on this week. Obviously, with spring coming, that explains why HGTV has got some things on the go, give you some renovation ideas for getting some work done on your place. And then if you want to check out whether Canada's got any kind of talent left, tune into that on City TV. Now I'm going to turn the microphone over to Amy, who is going to talk about a little bit more Canadian television news in CBC renewing a trio of comedies. So Amy, tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, yes, CBC has renewed a trio of comedies this week, including two shows with ties to Kim's Convenience. The first is Run the Burbs, starring comedian, writer, and actor Andrew Fung, who previously, of course, appeared on Kim's Convenience. And for those who haven't already seen it, it follows the comedic adventures of the Pham's, a young Vietnamese, South Asian Canadian family living in the suburbs. The series debuted in January and currently airs Wednesdays at 8:30 on CBC and CBC Gem. The second is the Kim's Convenience spinoff, Strays, which centers on Shannon Ross, played by Nicole Power, as she embarks on a new career as the executive director of the Hamilton East Animal Shelter. It premiered on CBC and CBC Gem back in September 2021 and has finished its run. And the third is renewal is Son of a Critch, which is based on Mark Critch's memoir about growing up in St. John's, Newfoundland in the 80s. The series premiered in January, where it ranked as CBC's number one scripted program in the 25 to 45, 18 to 49, and 18 to 34 audience demographics. And it became CBC's highest rated comedy premiere since Kim's Convenience debuted in October 2016. It currently airs Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. on CBC and CBC Gem. All three of those shows will be joining Sort Of, which we already mentioned in our last podcast, has already been renewed. And they will be joining Sort Of on CBC's 2022 and 2023 comedy slate. And that's a pretty strong lineup, and it's extremely diverse, and which CBC does better than just about anybody. And I really like that lineup. I don't know what you thought of all those shows, but I enjoyed all of them.
Yeah, I liked them all as well. I thought that I'm looking forward to the second season of Strays because I feel like the show is trying to figure out what they were. I think there's a lot of hangover from the character of Shannon from Kim's Convenience and trying to figure out how she was going to be different or you know, just kind of putting that character in with a bunch of different and new characters. The thing that I'm a little bit worried about is the status of Working Moms. So Working Moms wasn't announced alongside CBC. I've heard rumors about the future of that show, and I don't want to say anything, kind of on the record because anything can change. Whether that means that it'll be back for a second season or whether it's ending. It is curious though that we haven't heard anything about the future of Working Moms, and I think that sometimes the longer that you wait on that kind of news is kind of like, okay, well then it's usually bad news. And I'm not saying that that's the case with Working Moms. I just am looking forward to hearing something about the future of that show either way. So we'll probably, as we get closer to the Canadian Screen Awards, we'll probably hear more from the CBC about that. It's just one of those shows that just the future is kind of still up in the air. Speaking of the Canadian Screen Awards, last month, the Academy of Canadian Cinema and Television revealed the nominees for the 2022 Canadian Screen Awards in 145 film, television, and digital media categories. And the joke is that, you know, it's basically who didn't get nominated when it comes to the Canadian Screen Awards, because with that many categories, I do think that number is a little bit funny, but on the other hand, I'm all for celebrating the talent that we have here north of the border. So a little bit of information here that came from a media release from CBC. Amy, you already mentioned Sort Of. It leads the television and overall Canadian Screen Award nominations with 13, followed by CBC's Pretty Hard Cases and CTV Sci-Fi Channel's Wynonna Earp. They have 11 each, and CBC's Coroner and Kim's Convenience each have 10 nominations each. The full schedule is going to be so some of these awards are going to be given out online. So on April the 4th, it's going to be the Broadcast News Awards and the Documentary and Factual Awards all being given out. On Tuesday the 5th, it's the Sports Programming Awards and Digital and Immersive Awards. Wednesday the 6th is the Children and Animation Awards, followed by Life and Reality. Thursday, the 7th of April, we're getting into the Drama and Comedy Craft Awards. So that'll be behind the scenes stuff like costuming, or not behind the scenes, but the costume, makeup, special effects, that type of thing, followed by the Scripted Programs and Performance Awards. So those will be, the guest stars, that type of thing. Friday, April the 8th are the Cinematic Arts Awards. And then Sunday, this is the broadcast. Sunday, April the 10th at 8 p.m. are the Canadian Screen Awards on CBC and CBC Gem. And that's what they'll be giving out, the big ones like Best Film, Best Drama, Best Comedy, Best Reality Competition Series, and then the top tier performance awards. So lead actor, lead actress, that type of thing. So those will be the big ones on Sunday, April the 10th at 8 on CBC and CBC Gem. And as we promised last time we were on, Amy, we're going to do our first of a few more in-depth discussions about some of the key categories. And so today we're going to talk about Best Drama, Best Comedy, and the Best Reality Competition Program or Series. And this is more of a, hey, what do we think about these nominees? Do we agree with them? Do we disagree with some of them? Do we think that there would be a show that might have been a better fit in there? So I'm just going to go through the five nominees in the Best Drama category, and then we can have a little bit of a chat after that. So Best Drama, we've got Coroner on CBC, Moonshine on CBC, The North Water, which was broadcast on Super Channel, Transplant on CTV, and Vikings on History. So I don't know, Amy, do you want me to start with a couple of my thoughts, or do you want to give me any thoughts that you've got? Let me know. How do you want this to roll out?
What's your thoughts first, Greg?
Okay. All right.
You are the expert.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I've seen all of these programs. I've seen the first episode of The North Water, and it seems to be a little bit of the odd show out in this one. It's a Canadian production, but the reason it's a Canadian production are some of those behind the scenes points. So whether it's the production company that's behind it being Canadian, it may be a filming location that's Canadian, but it isn't the case of, it's being written or major roles being acted by Canadians. Like Colin Farrell is in this. So that's obviously the big name that's attached to the North Water. It is based on a book. I found it a little bit, kind of too dark and brooding and a little bit over the top for me. I'm usually into this kind of thing, especially when you're telling the story of a bunch of guys on a Victorian sailing ship being, up in the north. Like, that's in my wheelhouse. But I just wasn't a big fan of the North Water. And then likewise, Vikings. Again, one of those shows that gets ripped on because it's kind of tenuous where it falls under the Canadian banner. Again, it's on points, it's with production companies and rather than the writers and things like that. If I'm going on those types of points alone, I would kind of count out Vikings and the North Water. I am pleased to see Coroner in there. I have enjoyed the episodes of Coroner and these past seasons of it. Moonshine, again, a little bit weird. There is a lot of comedy in Moonshine. So I feel as though this could have sort of been, it kind of falls in that gray area between comedy and drama. I just think Transplant is the one for me. Does Wynonna Earp deserve to be in the category as a drama? Again, it falls in that gray area that maybe Moonshine does as well. It would have been cool maybe to see Wynonna Earp in here instead of The North Water or Vikings. But I am pleased with the rest of the category. And I think the Transplant probably deserves to be you know, personally, I think deserves to win, just from the storytelling standpoint and the acting. I can't say enough about Transplant, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I have to admit, of the list, the only one I have not seen is The North Water. I did not get a chance to see that, but from looking at the cast and everything, I was questioning exactly how it was on the list, like for the reasons you mentioned.
Yeah.
But in Vikings has been there forever. And yes, I know, as you mentioned, it's kind of, you know, for the same reasons people scratch their heads about it being on the list sometimes. But Corner, I've covered Corner a lot on the site on TVA, and it's, you know, having a great fourth season. Adriana Maggs came on as the new showrunner, and they brought several new cast members this year. And it's just, you know, it's still chugging along, doing a great job. Sarinda Swan is always fantastic in the lead role. So I have no problem. If Corner won, I would be very pleased. But I think you're right. Transplant is the top of the class there. It's just an outstanding show all the way around. And you can't, and this year they've got like a powerhouse, or, you know, writing, you know, writer's room. And, yeah. So I think the second season is probably going to be better than the first. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But if Transplant doesn't win, I'll be kind of surprised.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Surprise would be the word to describe me too, if they didn't walk away with that trophy on the big broadcast night. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say Moonshine is fun, enjoyable. I like that. I've seen one episode of that, but yeah, it is. It is a little bit of an odd duck there. It's a bit of a dramedy, although nobody uses that word really anymore. But that's what it is, and so it doesn't quite feel as dramatic as some of the others. But it is very well done. So Transplant.
So. All right, cool. Anything else you want to mention about drama, or do you want to move on and give us the nominations for best comedy?
I think we can move on to best comedy. We have got a very outstanding list of shows here. We have CTV's Jan, mm-hmm. CBC's Kim's Convenience, Letterkenny from Crave, Sort of CBC Gem, and Strays CBC. And we've already mentioned Strays earlier. It's a very good show. I enjoyed it. I think it deserves its nomination, but I'm not sure. I definitely have a favorite of this list. Jan is fantastic. I love that show. You cannot ever bet against Jan Arden. She mm-hmm. is hilarious in every setting that she's in, everywhere she goes. So great show. Kim's Convenience, obviously there's been a lot of drama about its cancellation, and this would be its last year that it's up for a nomination. Mm-hmm. Letterkenny, who doesn't love Letterkenny? You can't mm-hmm. ever question that being here. But my favorite is Sort of. I mentioned in the last podcast, I absolutely love this show. I love the tone. I love how diverse it is. I love how different it is. And I will be ecstatic if it wins, but it is it's tough competition in this list. I'm not sure what I think will happen, but what do you think?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Like Sort of, I'm so thrilled to see Sort of in this category. You know, a little bit of an outlier because it's, it's nominated through the, you know, listed on CBC Gem. It was on and is on CBC Gem, but it is on CBC right now as well. But yeah, I mean, this is a really strong category. Like you said, Jan, Kim's Convenience, Letterkenny, Sort of, you know, Strays is in the mix here, which is a little bit interesting to me. I'm not saying it doesn't deserve to be in there, but, you know, the aforementioned Working Moms, I think, had a strong season. You know, everybody had to film around COVID-19 restrictions. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, Working Moms did that well with their storytelling, the latest season of Working Moms. What would be, you know, that's just kind of the one off the top of my head. You know, you can't talk about shows like Tall Boy or Baroness von Sketch because they're in the sketch category. They're not a comedy. It will be interesting next year once you have shows like Run the Burbs and Son of a Critch, but we are talking about this year. I got to say, I feel like just looking at this list, my knee jerk reaction would be, I'd love to see Sort Of win, but I feel like it's going to go to either Jan or Kim's Convenience. Letterkenny, no disrespect to Letterkenny. It is the longest running one show that's in this category. I'm not saying that it's losing its bite, because I don't think that that's the case at all. I just think that after a while, it's time for other shows to step in and take an award just to keep the categories fresh. So it would be great if, so my 1, 2, 3 picks would be, first pick would be Sort Of, then I would be happy with either Jan or Kim's Convenience. I think Kim's Convenience winning would be great. Obviously the homer in me says last season, let's give that show the send off that it deserves. So a lot of times if anyone asked me to vote, I'd be voting with my heart rather than my head most of the time. So that's where I feel, that's where I'm thinking about the best comedy category.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would, my list would probably, my heart is Sort Of, but Jan is my heart too, because that is just a fantastic, my heart's with several of these, and Kim's Convenience, it would be a nice send off. Basically, yeah, if any of those three win, I'll be thrilled. And well, I won't argue with any other winners as well. So.
It's tough, right? Because you've done so many interviews with the folks connected with Jan. I've done it with Kim's Convenience and Letterkenny and Sort Of and Strays. So, you don't want to diss the shows. Like, we love all of the shows, but just, we're just saying, okay, here's what we'd like to see. You don't want to play favorites, but at the same time, you got to play favorites when you're picking award winners. You know, that's just the way that it works. Okay. So let's do the lot. Yeah. So let's do the last core category for this podcast. Let's cover the best reality competition program or series. And I think, we talked about this before. We both know where our hearts lay in this category. I'm going to go through each of these shows. We've got Big Brother Canada on Global, Blown Away on Netflix, Canada's Drag Race on Crave, Fire Masters on Food Network Canada, and Top Chef Canada on Food Network Canada. So we got a lot of Canadas in these titles because, of course, Big Brother, Drag Race, and Top Chef were all well-established franchises before Canadian versions of them came along. Fire Masters is a little bit unique because it's a competition series that's all about barbecuing and grilling foods. It is a good show. I've seen several episodes of it, and it has led to some inspiration for me when it comes to the grill. But Amy, you and I both talked about this ahead of time. We both agree that Blown Away is a show that deserves to win in this category, just from the standpoint that it's just so different. I mean, I have talked to so many people, gone on the air and talked to radio hosts about this show, Blown Away, which is all about glass blowing. It's a competition series. Each week, competitors have to create something out of blown glass. There's a theme. There's a judging panel, and then there's the reveal, and somebody is eliminated. And at the end of it, you win some cash, and the winner wins cash, the title, and they also do some time. I believe it's the Corning factory down in the States. They do kind of an internship type of thing. But it's just so unique. Like, it's kind of like Deadliest Catch. Like, you're going to point cameras at guys fishing for crab on the Bering Sea. Okay, I've never seen that before. It's the same thing with Blown Away. Like, if you told me, Greg, you're going to be, you're going to be literally blown away by this show about people making glass, I would have said no way. But it is so engaging. Filmed out of Hamilton, Ontario. Amy, what are your thoughts about it? You love this show too.
I do. I stumbled upon it actually on Netflix right before Christmas because I had a Christmas special.
Yeah.
And I, as I mentioned before, I grew up in the Detroit area, and we have the Greenfield Village and Henry Ford Museum there. And in Greenfield Village, they have a glass blowing factory, and you can go in and watch them do this. And from the time I was a little kid, going in and watching them make these Christmas ornaments and vases and all kinds of beautiful artwork, I've loved glass blowing. And so to see a competition based around it was really exciting for me, and not have to stand next to the hot ovens that I usually have to when I'm in the museum, because it is brutally hot. And so, yes, it's a fantastic show, and seeing all the things, the creativity that goes into these creations, literally. Yeah. It was a new thing to explore on reality television, and I really loved it because I already loved it anyway. But yes, everyone, my wife loved it, my mother-in-law loved it, everyone loved the show, and so yes, I would definitely be going for that one on its newness alone.
And I'm glad that you mentioned the Christmas episodes, because Bobby Burke from Queer Eye hosted the four episodes of the Christmas competition, and they brought him in as a guest judge in the second season of the show. And I don't know the story behind it, but I'm assuming that he loved it so much when they came to him and said, we're going to do four episodes of a Christmas themed competition, that he was all in on that. So I think that, you know, when you have the star power of him behind it, and again, just learning about something that I knew nothing about, like Blown Away is from a company called Blue Ant Media, and they've done some other really creative competition shows. There's Race for the Tide, which is about artists who make sand sculptures, and you have the tide coming in New Brunswick. So you have a time, you know, a certain amount of time that you can get this sand sculpture done before the tide takes it away. So again, you know, opening the doors to things that I, you know, competitions and experts in on things that I didn't know about. They also did one on miniature like dollhouses and building the things that go inside of a dollhouse. So just really creative stuff coming out of Blue Ant the production company that I just mentioned for these guys, and just really, really liking it. So yeah, I mean, we both agree it should be in this category, best reality competition program or series. It should be Blown Away on Netflix.
I think so. I would agree with that.
And you know what? I misspoke before. It's Marble Media. And that was why I was stumbling a little bit. It's Marble Media that makes Blown Away and has made those other shows. So a shout out to the Marble Media folks that might've been listening and saying, Greg, you're getting that information wrong. I do get information wrong a lot, but luckily before I hit stop on the record, I got that one right. Amy, anything else you want to, you know, any of these categories you want to go back over again, or do you think we've pretty much covered them?
I think we pretty much covered them. I'm not sure I have too much to add right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. I think as kind of we get into the groove of this, we're probably going to have a little bit more to say. Certainly the next time that we record, we're going to get into some of the performance categories, which will be an interesting chat, I think. You know, obviously it's one thing to talk about your favorite show, but we're going to drill down into some performances, and I think we're going to have some interesting conversations about that. Yeah,
that's always good.
Yeah, and that's where you're worried about hurting people's feelings.
Oh, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Everyone who gets nominated is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love everyone I interview. And I still have opinions. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's what makes it fun. Having opinions is good. okay, so Amy, where can people find you when you're not sitting in front of a microphone talking about TV?
You can find me on Twitter with at @Wilson_A_R. You can find me on Instagram under the same name, at @Wilson_A_R. Very uniform.
Do you want to add, did you want to mention the other Instagram account that you just set up recently because of your family edition, or do you want to keep?
Oh, sure. No, if anyone is a dog fan or a bulldog fan in particular, you can follow the adventures of my new rescue dog, Cadbury. And she can be found on Instagram at Cadbury the Bulldog. And yes, we got her last week ago Friday. Yeah. And she is already building up some followers, some bulldog lovers. And yeah, she's quite the character. So I've become one of those people. I'm sorry, Greg. You probably are regretting making that follow because your phone is constantly like, you know, a notification of she posted again. But yeah, I love her. I'm sorry. But dog lovers and bulldog lovers, please check us out there.
Yeah, no, I have my notifications turned off all the time. So, but it's so funny to go in there and see. I think the latest post was that she had reached 500 followers, and you were asking her for a comment, and she just kind of reached out and knocked the microphone over. I thought that was great. I'm like, oh, here's a new creative platform for Amy through her dog.
Yeah. She clearly does not like interviews yet. She's got kind of an attitude about it. But yes, and maybe that's why my microphone was not working right today. My poor blue microphone, and she did knock it over, and I'm using a different microphone today. So if the quality is not good today, blame Cadbury the Bulldog.
Yeah. And you know what, to be honest, that's something, you know, kind of peek behind the curtain is the last 2 weeks, Amy and I have both been having issues with our microphones and our setups. It seems as though gremlins come in between those 2 weeks and mess with us. But so if you're hearing, you know, all I can say is we're going to keep working on this every time, you know, and try and work out any kinks. So thank you for being patient with us. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go to @TV_EH. And you can always, of course, go to TVA.com, which is TV-EH.com for the latest news on Canadian television. That wraps up the TVA podcast. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.